podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So it's March the 22nd. It is the middle, the height of free agency. We got a bumper mailbag. We got Iron Mike in the house. It must mean only one thing. It's Iron Mike's bumper mailbag free agency frenzy.
Yeah, let's get to it. And, you know, being the new season, I'm just having my usual problems with something else for the off season. I don't know how front offices do it. I can't even get new Wi-Fi without losing all the bookmarks in my browser when I try to get the browser to work with one of the sites which I use quite often.
What, the DailyMail.com? What's on Mike's bookmarks? That's what I want to know.
My girlfriend insists she never reads the Daily Mail, but she seems to know everything that's on the website every day.
It's a streaming
movies and TV site.
I bet it is.
On which I'm watching about six different series. I wrote Lance Reddick's obituary, which
I read it. It's a terrific.
It's
terrific
online obituary at the Guardian, and it's in today's paper. And I hadn't actually seen some of the shows that he did, so I'm watching Fringe, on which he's very good, but it's kind of silly at times, and it's interesting at other times. It's kind of like an X-Files thing, and.
He made that between The Wire and Bosch, Fringe? Was it?
Yeah. It was one of the series he did about it. It went about eight seasons, but maybe only five. But it was
never
it was
on my radar,
quite long running. Yeah, it wasn't on mine either. I assume it never came here. But I had by sad coincidence, I had watched the first and second seasons of Bosch back in February.
Right.
And the second season is really one of his great points. That's where his son, who's the undercover cop, is killed, and it makes him the center of the show, really.
Of course, because it's interesting you say that. I rewatched The Wire. I mean, I've rewatched The Wire three or four times, but in the last 6 months, rewatched the whole series, each series again. So he was very fresh and prominent in my mind. It's a beautifully written.
It's amazing,
Mike. I
thought you were talking about The Wire. Yeah,
there's no question.
Thank you for that. The interesting thing, which I didn't put in the obituary, and I probably should have, when he went to audition for The Wire, and he had been on The Corner, which was based on a David Simon book, but when he went to audition, he actually auditioned for two parts, Bubbles and Bunk.
No way.
I didn't put it in because if you don't know the series, it wouldn't really mean anything to you. And I was really stretched for space. But, you know, if you know the series, it's so perfectly cast. It's hard to imagine.
Yes.
You know, anybody but Wendell Pierce playing,
playing Bunk
or Boyo playing Bubbles, and trying to see him play it after he nailed Daniel's character so well. It's just a fascinating thing to hear.
That is really, really interesting. I'm always fascinated by looking at castings that could have been, right? So
yeah.
I think it was, I mean, if you parlay that to The West Wing, I think you look at, I think Rob Lowe is always going to be Sam Seaborn, but Brad Whitford, I think, read for the Sam Seaborn part, and then they cast him as Josh. You can't imagine. I mean, you can imagine that the other way around, and it's really interesting to see what might have been, and of course, it wouldn't have been. What would it have been? Do you think sometimes because we're so used to, I mean, he's such a great actor that he could have pulled off Bunk probably, just would have been a very different Bunk.
It would have been a very different Bunk in some ways, and it's hard because of most of his roles, they're so authoritarian, and he plays himself so tightly wrapped, variations on that theme. Mm. You know, Bunk is incredibly loose. My favorite Wire moment, I think, is when Bunk and Omar are talking, And Omar says, you know, I know you from somewhere. And then he finally says, didn't you play that game with the sticks and stuff? And Bunk says, yeah, lacrosse. I was all Metro Attack, you know, them white, those white prep school boys peed their pants when they saw the Bunk coming.
Didn't McNulty give it the eye as well? I think you got a lot of shit for that. Oh, good stuff. Well, we'll get, and we'll post a link to that a bit over on our NC shows.
That would be great. It was so sad to write, but it's such a kind of privilege to be able to do that. He's a fascinating man and died much too young. Apparently, a friend of mine said there was in the talk stage, but he and Giancarlo Esposito were going to do a movie with Spike Lee, a remake of The Odd Couple.
Oh, no way.
And that, I mean, just thinking about it, those two guys and Spike Lee, it would have been fascinating.
I'd have been there first weekend. Right, we got a ton to get into in our...
Let's go to football. Let's go to the tape.
I'm Mike. You are a beloved member of the All-Pro crew. Some might say the most. And when we have you on the show, the mailbag, as I suggested at the top, is bumper and then some. So that's how we're going to do. We're going to weave through all of the shenanigans and go off on our usual tangents, I'm sure, by following the bright light of our listeners and the questions that they have fired in. All right? How does that sound to you?
Yes, it makes me into a real Diogenes.
Yeah, I'll take your word for that. So let's start with a Twitter handle I don't just like and respect, I love, frankly, Iron Mike. I don't know his real name or her real name. Frankly, I don't care, because the handle is good teams win, great teams cover. Yeah.
Sounds like a gambling site to me.
It works for me. So I'm going to go straight to that, because it is an interesting question for all kinds of reasons. And I guess it will help us rattle through a number of the deals straight off the bat, right, that have been done.
Okay.
Good teams win, great teams cover asks, best value free agency signing, the value.
Oh, single guy, single free agent. That's easy, because I wrote about it on week and my mind hasn't changed.
I haven't seen that yet. So I'm just, before you answer, because I was wondering if our great minds think alike, or at least my mind and your mind think alike. I'm going Bradbury.
No, I would argue with that completely. Because I mean, it's a good signing for the Eagles. I think the Eagles have been smart. But
he's an all pro, 38 million, which puts him
It's quite a bit of money, considering that he's, in my mind, he's basically a zone corner. Now they play a lot of zone. They play, you know, so that's okay. And they re-signed him and Slay rather than sort of give Chauncey Gardner-Johnson bigger money. I think if they'd given Chauncey Gardner-Johnson what he was going to get on the open market, they probably wouldn't have been able to keep either guy. So they kept, you know, they kept Brandon Graham, they kept Fletcher Cox, they kept Slay, they kept Bradbury. They let their linebackers go, they let their safeties go, Gardner-Johnson and Epps. Now, the reason I think Gardner-Johnson is so important is that when you're playing so much zone, and it's kind of like Malcolm Jenkins before him.
Right.
He's so flexible. You can use him in a variety of roles, no matter what kind of zone you're playing. You know, he can be a linebacker. He can be a slot corner. He can be a safety. If you're going to switch a route, he can play two deep safety, one deep safety. And I think that's important. Now, they went out and signed Justin Evans from the Saints. They're pretty well prepared, the Eagles. I think they think Blankenship can start at safety. He played some of the season. He's an undrafted rookie last year, and he started, I think, six games as an undrafted rookie and held his own.
So despite exits, they are looking all right.
I think so. I mean, smart. They just look like their signings.
Smart business.
Are smart all the time. You know, they lost Gardner Minshew. And they're ahead of the game with Mariota, who's a great fit for them. He's a better runner too. He can more. They lost Seumatu, and last year they drafted Jenkins Juergens in the second round. So you know, I think
always thinking a few moves ahead. All right, so I done. Yeah,
that's why Howie was the executive
of the year.
The executive of the year. Yeah. My guy would be
who is your guy?
I think David Long is the greatest bargain in free agency.
Buzz about Long, yeah. It's a break
especially,
down.
Yeah, and a smart one, because he's exactly what you need in a Vic Fangio defense. And when you think of some of the guys that Fangio has had real success with as inside linebackers, in that Long fits that mold. I thought last year he was certainly a Pro Bowl kind of guy. I mean, you know, he was outstanding, I thought, last year for Tennessee. And they got him at a bargain price. I think it's like 2 years for $11 million or something like that. And, you know, I think overall Miami has done very well at the start.
Let's look at that. So Long is a great shout. And, you know, Valley, I mentioned you might have a few others in your shortlist, Mike, because that is, of course, is the key. I went with Bradbury, a much, I guess, higher profile name than Long, because look at the pecking order, and it's quite easy to find. If you look at there's always a slight inflection and nuance based on current deals when you're looking at the top 10, top 15, positionally speaking. But for an all-pro, Bradbury, I think, is 10th, 11th with the new deal. So I think that represented value. That was the rationale there. Long, 2 years, $11 million, 100%. That's a great shout. The Miami business, I want to get your take on a few things here. So no doubt, Ramsey, high-profile, shiny signing. We love that, I'm guessing, even if it's big money deal.
It's, well, you know what? Aqib Talib, do you remember when the Dolphins signed Aqib Talib? How'd that work out for you?
Yes. You think there are parallels to that?
Very similar situations. I think Ramsey's better at this point than Talib was at that point. And like I said, it's Vic Fangio.
Right.
Howard and Ramsey are kind of at the same points in their careers in that they can be beaten. We saw that last season, more with Howard than with Ramsey. If you can get away from Howard, you can beat him. He can't keep, he's got to hold. The guy's a walking penalty flag. The Dolphins haven't had a guy like that since Sam Madison. But with Vic Fangio, he's going to want to have two press corners.
Right.
And they're both good press corners. I mean, you know, unless the flags fly, they're going to win a lot of battles. Yeah, and they're going to have help around them. It's a good secondary now, all the way around. Yeah.
So it's the other business that I'm curious to get your perspective on, Mike. I love Braxton Berrios as a signing. I think that's great. I love that.
Every team needs a sneaky fast. Slot corner.
The spirit of Wes Welker lives on in Miami. Mike White. I think it's a decent backup.
Good signing. Good backup. Good fit for a Shanahan kind of offense, I think.
Good point. The bit I don't quite get, and maybe you can illuminate and educate me as you often do, the backfield, which ranked 25th in rushing yards per game last season. Raheem Mostert, Sal Ahmed, and Jeff Wilson, all re-upped, all renewed. So are they going to go running back in the draft? What's going on here? Why?
I actually probably would be surprised. I think they're going to figure that they're going to get a tight end. Well, they got a tight end.
Yeah.
Gesicki's gone, but they're going to have another blocky. They signed the kid from Drake, Subert, who's pretty good, actually. He was a freshman at Drake when I did Drake down at in Tanzania in the Kilimanjaro Bowl. And I think he's going to figure the offense is going to run a little bit better and smoother, and Mostert will be healthy the whole season. They didn't really overspend too much. Running back's a tough one. I was doing a little bit this morning, just looking at some of the deals, because they were talking about, you know, what draft possession Bijan Robinson's going to go in, you know, whether someone's going to really want to draft him high or not.
So Bijan, just to put him in context, if listeners aren't altogether clear, I think it was Ben on our show that emphasized he's a Saquon level talent, right?
That's who the comparison generally has been all the way around. And then they were talking about Saquon, you know, where is he going to go? He could go to the Chargers, where Kellen Moore is now the offensive coordinator, and where Austin Ekeler doesn't have a deal. He has a deal. He's got one more year in his contract, but he wants out, and they've given him permission to. And Ekeler only, he's only going to get six in cash, 6.25 in this year of his contract. Mm-hmm. So he's actually a good value for a team. And so I looked, and, you know, running backs, in terms of it's too complicated to go through how contracts work.
Yeah.
But in terms of cash this season, McCaffrey gets $12 million. Kamara and Dalvin Cook get 11. Aaron Jones is just under 11. Chubb is just under 11.
Yeah.
Henry's 10.5. Mixon's 10.1. Those are like Mixon, Saquon, and
Aaron Jones will be in that mix as well, presumably.
Pollard and Jacobs, the guys who were franchised, are getting 10.1. Mixon wasn't franchised, but his contract works out that way. And then it's Connor, Sanders.
So it's a big drop, isn't it? There's a drop.
It's a huge drop. Yeah, there's a huge drop from the top sort of 10
8 or 9. Yeah.
And down to Connor and Austin Eckler. And people,
so what do you think Eckler
consider...
might get? Because Eckler, just on that point, because Eckler, well, I was trying to find the quote here. He said he's undervalued, and somebody wrote in actually saying, "Where do you think Eckler might land?" If you think it, so if Eckler, if that line is what, so Saquon is. Saquon, Josh Jacobs, Pollard, as you said, Aaron Jones, they're kind of 10, 11, and then there's a drop to 6.
I think that's what he's probably looking for.
Right.
But he probably, you know, he would probably play for the bonus. You give him a bonus. You get him in on his contract. You give him a bonus, and then you give him, so it works out to getting 10 for the next 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. And this is what people don't quite get. If free agency runs from money. After there's a handful of guys that more than one team absolutely want, and they can, and quarterbacks, and they can, you know, jiggle that into a lot of money. But after that, it's all a question of what you can afford, how much cap space you have, what this guy's going to cost you. It's easier to sign another team's free agent than to re-sign your own in a lot of cases, because you can't continue to juggle the money you've already been juggling, because it'll leave you with more dead cap or whatever when you let him go. But it's always in the team's mind. So everyone was saying, for example, when Jacoby Myers went to the Raiders, 3 years, at $11 million, $33 million over 3 years.
Right.
And then the Patriots signed Juju Smith-Schuster, $33 million over 3 years. And everyone said, oh, look, Jacoby Myers had a funny tweet about, you know, how ironic it was. And everyone said, oh, look. But then you read guys analyzing it, and they say for the same money. Well, it's not the same money, because when you look at the contracts, Juju's is full of incentives, and it's heavily loaded, so that, you know, he's not going to count in the next 2 years. The cap's going to come when they have more cap space, but it doesn't hurt them this year. And it's something they couldn't have done with Jacoby Myers. Mm-hmm. You know, I still am not sure whether I like Juju better than Myers. I mean, Myers he's such a great effort player, you know, and he's done so well. But Juju is more, obviously has sort of more quote unquote natural talent. You know, he's faster, he's bigger. He could be a great fit for them, but financially he's a much better fit for them. And that's the thing that people, including people who are the so-called gurus of this, don't understand. You know, until you look at the contracts, you can't really pin down a team's motivation for signing guy A over guy B.
It's a really interesting point. Yeah, the flexibility that is enabled by bringing somebody into the building as opposed to re-upping play you've got.
And there are teams that have no cap space in their team. Atlanta had more cap space than, and it's like they're trying to spend every penny of it. You know, it's really weird.
Let's go there. The Bengals, I want to ask about the Orlando Brown deal. Let's go there then. So the Orlando Brown deal, he got a big old signing bonus to follow.
Actually, and that's what made the difference for him. But he goes on he could have had $20 million if the Chiefs had franchised him. Mm. And it's weird because the Chiefs didn't franchise him for $20 million, which is only a 1 year contract. But they signed Juwan Taylor for a 4 year contract that totals out at $80 million, but isn't really going to be that. Excuse me, especially if they cut him after the third year, which is what most 4 year contracts are kind of structured to allow.
But the signing bonus, this stat blew my mind. Let's see what you think about this. So $31 million was the signing bonus.
Yeah.
That was more than Harris, Alex Kappa, and Lael Collins got collectively combined when they signed with the Bengals last year.
Yeah. And
it's going to be an awkward first couple of sessions, I reckon, around there.
It really is. And I think Jonah Williams has asked for a trade now.
well, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Because I don't, I think he sees the writing on the wall. Now, Juwan Taylor, though, the Chiefs signed as a right tackle, and Zeus Jr. has always been a left tackle. So, you know, that's an interesting one. But then, you know, what they did was Cincinnati let both their safeties go.
Yes.
And Bates got the big deal in Atlanta. And Von Bell signed a big deal. And so the Bengals signed Nick Scott. Now, Scott, who is he? Well, he's a guy who looked really good 2 years ago as a rookie with the Rams, out of nowhere, you know, and I think he'll help fill one of those spots. And they drafted Sean last year to, you know, as the replacement to fill another. So they're kind of spending their money where they thought they needed it most.
Mm.
And at the same time, $16 million a year is what it kind of works out to for Orlando Brown. So that's, you know, that's affordable for them because they do have to save money to be able to pay Joe Burrow next year.
Which ain't going to be cheap.
Looking ahead, I thought Kansas City taking Drew Tranquil from the Chargers was a pretty good move yesterday as well. And they
got Mike. What'd you like about that move?
Well, just because it fills that linebacking gap with a kind of good, fast linebacker, pace, which is kind of what they needed.
Just on Von Bell, I'm going to go to Twitter and Jamie's question about the Panthers. Obviously, that is where Bell has landed, and they've been making some moves. And he quite rightly emphasizes the fragility or winnability of the NFC South. And he asks, can the Panthers D and any quarterback, so the options are at the moment they could still make a late play for somebody. But
I think any quarterback is the guy who's listed on their depth chart. It's like honk if you can play quarterback for the Panthers.
Let's get Quarterbot in. Let's get Quarterbot out of retirement, like get him to Carolina. So they've got Darnold still on the. Is he still on the books? I think he is. Anyway,
no, Darnold's with San Francisco.
Oh, they moved Darnold. God, I missed that deal. Okay, so
yeah, Darnold signed with San Francisco, which means they actually have two guys who were the third pick overall in the draft in Darnold and Trey Lance.
There you go.
And Brock Purdy will still probably be the starter.
Oh yeah, of course, because Dalton is officially their starter at the moment for Carolina. They've got Matt Corral, of course, from last year's draft.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Jamie's question is, I think, kind of joining the dots. Amazing D. We're not sure who's playing quarterback. Frank Reich in the mix. Is that good enough, going to be enough to win a winnable division?
Right now, I would think that the Saints have to be the favorites in that division. With Derek Carr at quarterback, you know, still a solid defense.
Yeah. I like the Carr deal, Mike. Do you? But if we're talking about value, and we're talking, relatively speaking, we're talking about his ranking in the pecking order, the situational upgrade, right? Clearly, they're going to be demonstrably better at their quarterback position year on year, and injuries notwithstanding, just in terms of core ability, for what? A 38 a year, 37 and a half a year, I think Carr's deal works out as. I think that's good business.
Yeah, you know, because someone decided to make $40 million a year the marker, the benchmark now for elite quarterbacks. And so the Giants had to sort of bend over backwards to give Daniel Jones a deal that, you know, that looked like a $40 million a year deal, although, you know, I don't think it was. And again, the key to these things are when you can get out of them without leaving yourself with a huge salary cap hole. Mm-hmm. When you do, you know, because all that upfront money has to be prorated across the length of the contract and adds to it. But Carr is kind of, what was it? 4 years at 160. It's probably more like a 3 year, $105 million deal.
Yeah.
Something like that. Once they get out.
Yeah. 100 are guaranteed. So
yeah. Once they get out of the last year, it actually becomes, affordable. Jones's deal is kind of the same. I worked it out. It was like 3, 112. And if they get out of it after 3 years, there's only $9 million in dead cap. Mm-hmm. On their thing. So, you know, it's the same way that, like, Geno's Gino's deal, if every if all the incentives were in, would be $3 million and just over 100 million.
Jimmy, so you mentioned Gino.
Jimmy G a little less so. But going back to it depends, Carolina. You can't say until you have some idea of who's going to play quarterback on that team. If Andy Dalton's the quarterback, they're not going to win the division.
They're not going to start the season with Andy Dalton, are they?
If Corral's the quarterback, they're not going to win the division.
Is there any chance that Frank Reich, being Frank Reich, Dalton's a seasoned vet, and I know he's a maligned character these days, but is there any chance Frank Reich thinks, I can create an offense, I can whisper in his ear, we'll be okay?
Has Frank Reich been given brain surgery and forgotten Carson Wentz? Didn't he have Carson Wentz in Indianapolis? Didn't he have Matt Ryan in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Ryan's still out there. You could argue that Ryan, the best quarterback who's out there now, who's left, is probably Teddy B.
Yeah. Would he make a play for what? Because otherwise, I mean, Carolina, of course, the expectation is they're going to draft a quarterback in the draft. So, as we talked about with Ben recently on the show, it's not really a week one starter in that.
I don't really think so. And I think the quarterback market does this to us every year. At this time last year, everybody's talking about Willis being a first round draft pick, and nobody went in the first round except Kenny Pickett. Right at the end of the first round, and everybody else fell. Now I have no doubt that Young and C.J. Stroud will go early, because I think they both probably will be NFL quarterbacks. They may look, Reich may look at the guy who sort of fits his profile more is Levis. But he looks to me like he needs work. And then, Richardson just drives everybody crazy. He's got huge athletic ability. But, to me, watching him, his upside is Justin Fields at the moment.
Right.
Unless the Bears are going all in to make Justin Fields pay off. And he may well do, but he's not going to pay off because he's a great passer. Mm. He's going to pay off because they run a single wing kind of offense with him. And he's a great threat that way. And in passing, I note that Cam Newton is going to participate in the pro day at Auburn. And which is not to lump Cam Newton with those guys, because Newton's a better passer than that. Newton's a lot more along the
dual threat,
Lamar Jackson line.
Yeah, it's interesting with the Camels. He feels he's still got something to give, and I think he even referenced it in some of the deals that have been done recently. And
that's what he's doing. He's seeing that money going around. He's if Daniel Jones can get $40 million a year.
Yeah.
I was the MVP in 2015 or whatever it was.
I think Jamarcus Russell may be starting for Carolina next season at this rate. He's working out too. Gino, you mentioned Gino, so I'm going to go there because we've got a ton of questions to get into, Mike. Spicy Porcupine. Hi, Spicy.
I had that for dinner last night.
You bet you did. First things first, he says, Iron Mike is my hero. He wants to point out, which it's a lovely sentiment. He's many of us. He's our hero, Porcupine. So fair point. What's the best thing, speaking of Gino, the best thing the Seahawks can do to give themselves the best chance of success over the next 5 years? What is the next? That's a long old time.
The next 5 years is a long time because looking at Gino's contract and coming off this year, it looks to me as if they will pick up a quarterback at some point this year, possibly next year, to groom as the replacement for Geno. Because remember, Geno's no rookie or anything. He's been around a while, even though he doesn't have great wear on the tires those years of sitting on the bench. What they've done a pretty good job in the last two drafts of rebuilding their defense. It's not quite up to the Legion of Boom years, but they had a great draft with Woolen last year, and the other guy in the secondary as well.
And they
added Draymond Jones, who's a kind of useful player for them, because he he can go in inside and out, which is important for Pete Carroll. And I think offensively, with Wolford as the offensive coordinator, they're getting away from that kind of Russell Wilson era of boom and bust stuff. Now they probably need to add a receiver somewhere because the Lockett and DK could use a break basically, and they could they could use a little more variety in the offense, and they could also use a running back who could stay healthy, which they've had a lot of trouble over the years with. But I think they're on a good path for long term success, and they've been that way for a few years. Carroll, their limitation in one sense, Carroll's been their limitation as much as he was the source of their success in the Legion of Boom years, because the insistence on the kind of run first, Russell Wilson will save us offense probably cost them quite a few wins and playoff spots over the years. But there's a certain amount of continuity there. And I really respect the teams with continuity in our period, have been Pittsburgh and Baltimore, Patriots.
Yeah.
Seattle to some extent, Green Bay to some extent. And remember, Snyder came from Green Bay to Seattle and then went back, I really respect those teams, because the NFL in reality for the owners and the fans is, there's one winner and 31 losers every year. But the reality is, Andy's another one. I should have mentioned Andy Reid with the Eagles and the Chiefs.
Sure.
That consistency has a certain amount of worth, Yes, it's frustrating when they can't win the Super Bowl every year, but it's also nice, if I'm a fan, I like to see a team that goes out and puts double-digit wins up every year. It stays in the playoffs, is always close to being successful. Everything has to go right.
We saw this, and we've seen it recently in football, in the Premier League, with Arsenal, for a long time.
Yeah,
and Wenger's the reference point I was going to go to, that consistently in the Champions League and playing attractive football almost all the time, but the lack of major silverware was a problem for Arsenal fans. And I know they've rebooted now with Arteta, but it's been some dark years.
He's a great comparison. And, like some of these guys, Belichick has his weaknesses. Pete Carroll has his, you like certain kinds of guys. And also, when you give these guys a great quarterback, then, great things happen. When they had Thierry Henry, great things happened.
Right.
If they hadn't lost Fabregas, I think great things would have happened. They would have been a much better team.
And Percy as well, of course.
Yeah, and Wenger's weak spot was his preferences in the back four, and to some extent in goal as well. Where his kind of back four guys would be great if he had the muscle in the midfield, but they weren't when they had to be the real focus of the defense.
It's a great point. And also, I guess, to extend it one more before we run the risk of milking it, but his insistence on retaining still to this day remains, I think, a logical and sensible approach to salaries and budgets in the face of everybody else around him in terms of serious competitors just outspending him at every turn. And I guess that could be applied to Belichick cutting players at the peak of their powers, because he realizes that, down the line, it's not going to represent value in long term. Yeah. That's better for the club and Wenger.
Yeah. The difference, I think, is that in Britain, the clubs make money to make money. In the NFL, you're going to make money whether you win or lose. you're saving money so you can spend it. Long term, getting value. But I think it's a really good comparison. And it's hard to keep winning teams together. This happens so often when you get a team that surprises and wins. It's what Phil Jackson called the disease of me. Everybody thinks that they're crucially responsible for the win, and they all want to be reimbursed for that. And obviously the team can't afford to do that for everybody. So, you know, they and other teams say, well, that guy was the guy who put them over the top. We want him, you know. So it becomes a difficult prophecy to fulfill. Two other Dolphins things, just going back.
We're dealing on that, Mike. We're dealing with exactly that problem in the Kentish Town Tuesday night five-a-side league in the North London Galacticos. I mean, we might need to bring you in to have a team talk, a squad talk with us to bring us back.
Oh, I thought you were saying bring me in to beat up. That's what I did. When I played football for ITN for a couple of games, they were a team that got tossed out of one league because they were too rough, and they brought me in to be rougher.
That's amazing. I never knew that.
And
what position did you play? Was this 11-a-side?
I played fullback, basically.
Fullback, and were just a bruise, like an absolute thumper.
Yeah, I mean, I could run with guys. I could stay in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, I could use my shoulders and elbows to, you know, bump them out of the way, and then I could like kick the ball with my toe up the field.
Sounds amazing. I wish there was footage of that. Sorry, you were going back to Miami, I think.
Well, yeah, I just said, you know, they two other signings, which just I guess were yesterday, but they signed Jake Bailey, who I think had certain problems with New England, and if he's over those, he's a great kicker as well as punter, kickoff guy. And they signed Malik Reed from Pittsburgh, who, you know, is a backup at Pittsburgh, but he's an outside linebacker in a 3-4 who fits the scheme that Vic Fangio is running. So I think they'll get good use out of him. Next question, please.
Yeah. So actually, I'm going to link that in based on what you've been saying so far about Miami. I think they might be on your list here. This is from Jez Goddard, and it's kind of his question, and I've got a follow-up alongside it. We haven't got into Rodgers yet, so we've got to get your take on Rodgers.
Oh, he's supposed to be breaking his silence today.
Oh, blimey. Okay, well, he's going
on to, what's his name, show.
Oh, well, he's going onto the pod.
Pat McAtee. He's going on McAtee t-shirt show. And I mean, some breaking the silence. He was on McAtee's show last week, Wednesday.
He wasn't, he just. McAfee's getting good business out of it. All right. Well, let's assume for a moment that Rodgers, as we expect him to, although you never bloody know with Rodgers, goes to the Jets. Jez asks, are the Jets serious Super Bowl contenders with move Rogers? For Aaron Rodgers? Something we talked about on last week's show. And the expansion to that question is, based on the other business you've seen so far, and in fact, actually, this also ties in with Rakesh's question, so this all works perfectly. So Jez's question, specifically on the Jets, we'll go with Rakesh saying, based on all the transactions so far, who's in the best position to make a big impact next season? So are the Dolphins on your list as a team that you think have moved into the...
I think the AFC East is going to be a tough division. The weird thing with the Jets is that all these guys that Rodgers said he wanted to upgrade on in Green Bay, he's told the Jets they have to go out and sign.
I know, amazing.
it doesn't make much sense. The problem with Rodgers is there's no motivation for the Packers to move him. And there's certainly great motivation for them not to move him until after the June 1st deadline. Because again, I went and sort of looked up if they were to trade him now, they'd have $40 million in dead money.
Space.
And 8.7 on the cap. If they trade him after June 1st, they save almost $16 million in cap. They add that to on, and they only have $16 million in dead money they have to pay. So it would be financially much better for them to wait till June. And Rodgers at that point, Rodgers is only the only leverage he has in this doesn't come until July. He doesn't get leverage till he refuses to report, or even better, reports but doesn't play well or doesn't play at all, but has to get paid, right? That's his only leverage, is that I'm not going to play for you and you'll have to pay me anyway. And at this point, all the leverage is with the Packers. So if the Jets say, we'll give you a second round draft
pick. I was going to say, do you reckon, is everyone saying Rodgers at best is a second round pick? Is that going to change the more leverage that the Packers have?
I think so, because I think Rodgers is a first round, you know, or if he's a second, he's 2 seconds, he's a second in a player. You know, he's 2 seconds in Zach Wilson. which would be Justin Love and Zach Wilson battling it out for the Packers QB job. I was speculating that they could sign someone like Teddy B.
Yeah.
You know, but they can't really, because they don't really have this. It would restrict them from signing anybody else.
Well, we don't know what we've got with Love, though. I mean, this is it, right? He might be good.
I don't think they know, to be honest.
Yeah, right. How much can they tell Mike in the build? I mean, he's been there, what, 3 years now? How much can you tell from training, from watching, looking up close for that period of time without the actual...
The last time he played, and he could be, he could have developed more since then, but the last time he played, they were very happy with what they'd seen in practice. But when he got into games, he was clearly in over his head. Mm. And that's the one thing you can't really predict until you actually see it.
But also equally can be ironed out 4 or 5 games in, right? I mean, it's just the shock.
It's very hard to do that on the run in the NFL, because your practice is so concerned with preparing for each week's game. Mm. Unless someone else is the quarterback and you can spend extra time, you have a quarterback coach, say, who can spend extra time with the backup. The backup doesn't even get many reps in practice because it's all about preparing for that week's game. But I think if he goes to the Jets then become contenders, I'm not sure. But right now I would say it's Buffalo, Miami, the Patriots and the Jets. If the Jets have Rodgers, it's probably a toss-up right now between the Patriots and the Patriots are a big question mark as to whether that offense will actually function with Bill O'Brien, whether it will go and Mac Jones or whether something else might be the answer.
Maybe D-Hop as well, because that's going to D-Hop because he has started following Mac Jones on social media.
It's weird, isn't it? but he makes so much money. I don't know. Arizona's almost going to have to pay his contract to get somebody to take him. And he's not the D-Hop of 4 or 5 years ago. And he's not going to the Patriots, I don't think, because Bill O'Brien traded him for a second round pick when he was at his peak. Mm. So there's got to be some reason for that. Mm-hmm. It was a dump of a trade.
Although, isn't that a kind of,
when he was back in Houston.
Yeah, but are you saying?
He wanted to get rid of him. Yeah, there might be some kind of ill will there,
So where might he end up then? Who would be a good landing spot for D-Hop?
Again, he's not a one receiver anymore. Mm. He's one of the great receivers of the last 10 years, but maybe there's teams that need receivers. The Eagles could use a receiver.
Yeah, the Eagles could do it.
The Panthers could use receivers. Jacksonville's they're okay now, I think, receiver wise. You'd almost have to look at teams that are not very successful at this point. He wouldn't have been, for example, a great fit in Dallas.
People are connecting him with Dallas. That's a buzz.
Yeah,
team
though he's much better than Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is a better fit for what Dallas needed from a receiver. In fact, I'd look at him in a way as there's a bunch of teams that have a few teams that have tried to fill a tight end hole, like Waller going to the Jets. Waller's a great player when he's healthy and when his mind's there, but between taking off from the team and not being physically healthy, he didn't contribute that much to the Raiders. But they lose a tight end and they bring in Jacoby Myers, for example. You can try to replace a move tight end with a big receiver. So there are teams where Hopkins could kind of play that role. I think Juju's going to do a lot of that in New England. I think you'll see them in formations where he's a slot receiver and Gesicki is a wing back or a slot receiver on the other side, and they work those two guys in the middle. They use them to help block for their running game. So I think, D-Hop could fit in better there. But to me now, he's probably in that same stage and if he gets better service as well, because I'm being a little cruel to him, but frankly, with Kyler Murray, the wrong kind of quarterback for the kind of stuff that you want him to do. So with better service, you know, he
Kansas
could be
City in D-Hop with the Chiefs.
That, you know, that's an interesting idea because, you know, he could do for them what Juju did last year, and he'd love it. You know, he'd probably be willing to, you know, to do some kind of deal to make himself more affordable. I'm not sure what the Chiefs would give to Arizona, but you know, Arizona's almost impossible to figure out right now. You know, what are they going to do at quarterback? Is Colt McCoy going to quarterback the team also? You know, because who knows when Kyler's going to be back? I think Kyler basically is the general manager now.
The whole thing is, I mean, you look at the way that, to your point of the franchises that are run consistently well, up there amongst the most dysfunctional sort of the last 5 years has to be Arizona. I mean, every misstep possible. They, you know, didn't pay Kyler, they didn't need to. Back these two and then fire Kingsbury. I mean, the whole thing is shambolic. A lot of head scratching.
Yeah.
You're a car.
You know, and the other thing I think that stands out, I should probably just mention the Lions because I think the Lions have had a pretty
somebody
good.
Somebody asked about the Lions. She says, very nice of you to bring them up. James Croydon. Hey, James. So he says, how do you rate the Lions going into next season? They've made moves in free agency. They certainly have. So you mentioned Gardner Johnson. They got Cam Sutton from the Steelers.
Emmanuel Mosley.
So yeah, Mosley.
Basically rebuilding the secondary, which has been bad for a couple of years. Mm. Jamal Williams left and they signed David Montgomery, which is, you know, not quite like for like, but he's a good runner, you know, and should help with that. DeAndre Swift is one of the great bargains in the NFL. Is, you know, under $2 million a year. So, and their offensive line is really good, which makes Jared Goff, you know, a good quarterback.
Yeah. Right.
Which was the case in St. Louis when they did well. So I think the Lions are on the verge of being the favorites in that division.
Wow. It's a playoff team.
I'm not sure Minnesota last year were one of the luckiest teams in NFL history in terms of their win losses, you know, not fitting in with their statistical profile. And they won a lot of close games, fluky kind of close games. Green Bay is in a total rebuilding mode, I think. The Bears are trying to get there right away, and they'll be a threat in some games. And I think they've also, you know, they've done pretty well. You know, Eberflus wanted fast linebackers. They got Edwards and Edmonds. You know, one's TJ and one's Tremaine. You know, Edmonds and Edwards. It's like the killer bees. They can put on masks and pretend to be each other.
Yeah.
They got Donta Foreman, who had a great season in Carolina last year, and you know, always seems to have one good year. You know, and then he gets traded on or moves on as a free agent, and DJ Moore, I think, was the key part of that trade, because you think they went all the way down to 9. They had a shot. You know, most of us were thinking they would go down from 1 because they'd find someone who wanted that 1 spot for a quarterback, but they would go down to, you know, 2, 3, 4 and get Jalen Carter. But now Carter might be available at 9. Who knows? Mm. No one seems to know what's going to happen with him. Because at that point, to me, he was the best player in the draft in terms of
ability.
You know, you could argue Bijan Robinson might be the best player in the draft, you know, but no one's going to pick a running back probably in the first, you know, 8, 9 picks.
Adam actually asked a question on DJ Moore. Adam asked, was DJ worth the $40 million? And he is talking about DJ Moore, I'm assuming, not DJ Khaled. My God, a favorite of yours.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. It puts him in the top 10, but he has been a good receiver for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Without great service. And welcome to Chicago.
Right. Yeah.
He's tough. He runs good routes. He runs after the catch. They got Tanyan this week as well from Green Bay. So that's going to help out on those things. And I just think, you know, there's so much interchangeability now in the NFL, the way that teams, not just contracts are front loaded, but when you look at teams, the talent base is top loaded. You know, the people at the top of the talent pyramid, which is a combination of talent and need. So in other words, your quarterback is not necessarily your best football player, but he's the guy you need the most. So a B-plus quarterback is up there at the top of the talent pyramid. alongside an A linebacker and an A-plus guard and that kind of thing. And as you take a step down, there's so much interchangeability, you know. So, you know, Pittsburgh lost Sutton. They signed Patrick Peterson. You know, the difference is Peterson's older. He's got a two-year deal, which, you know, if they get 2 years out of him, that'll be great for them. But, you know, the kind of Damian Harris goes to Buffalo because Devin Singletary's gone to Houston, I think.
Is Damian Harris goes to Buffalo the sequel to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Yeah. And I think they, you know, and then James Robinson, the Patriots signed basically to replace Damian Harris.
Yeah.
You know, and whether that will be good depends on whether he stays healthy. Ronald Jones goes to Dallas, you know, to be basically number two to Tony Pollard, to be the bruising inside guy, which works for them, and because Zeke is gone and Zeke will go somewhere. You know, Zeke could, like I said at the top of the show, Brian, you know, going with Kellen Moore would make a lot of sense if they're going to let go of Eckler, you know.
Because
the one thing that they were, Eckler is so good, but down by the goal line, it's so predictable that they're going to either go to him or to Mike Williams. Yeah, you know, on a fade or another, you know, jump for the ball kind of route. I'm surprised that they're letting him go, and so maybe they do want to draft or sign another running back. Mm. You know,
speaking of running back deals, that we haven't mentioned Devin Singletary to the Texans. Dalton Schultz as well.
I just did.
Did you? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Singletary, because that's who Damian Harris is replacing in.
Oh, of course he did. Yes.
Buffalo. Yeah, and Schultz went to Houston as well.
Yeah.
Again, it's like Gesicki. It's the same kind of, you know, the tight ends are going, are at like 1 year for $9 or $10 million a year at the top of the market, which is probably about right, because a lot of these guys aren't really tight ends. They're big slot receivers.
You're right.
You know, that's why Gesicki's not in Miami, because they want tight ends to block. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I said, it's not that he won't block, it's that he can't block. He's not an inline blocker. He'll block linebackers coming across. He'll block secondary, that kind of thing. You know, but he's not the guy you can line up close to the formation and ask him to block the defensive end or outside linebacker, you know, who's got the corner responsibility.
That's coming at you, yeah.
Yeah.
One for the road, I'm Mike. Lee Parkinson. This is via Instagram, actually. Hey, Lee. As a longtime British Raven, I'm struggling to see where we're headed at the mo. What's going on with Lamar?
Yeah, what's going on with the Ravens is what's going on with Lamar. They've done nothing, basically. They lost Ben Powers, which was kind of a bad loss. And Denver, they paid a lot for Matt McGlinchey and less, but still a big contract for Powers. Mm. And I understand why they did that, but I thought that's a lot of money for Matt McGlinchey. But yeah, they have to do something with about Lamar, who remains his own agent, you know, and it's kind of like lawyers, you know, the person who is his own lawyer has a fool for a client. is the old adage. And I would say the same thing about quarterbacks. And you can't kind of like say, no, his mother's his agent, you know, so he's not really his own agent. But Lamar, I had the number written down. Yeah. When Lamar plays, they're 45-16 and they average 28 points a game. And when he doesn't play, they're 8-13 and they average 20 points a game. Now, part of that is that his backups have not been great.
Right.
You know, but part of it is it was an offense geared for Lamar, and very few other guys could run that offense as well. And given that they haven't really had success with receivers for him, you know, I think that's a pretty impressive stat line. Now, $32 million on the franchise deal is a bargain, and they ought to be able to lever that into a this year kind of deal, 3 year that works out to being like, and then maybe they make it bigger, but it works out to being 3 years at, you know, at $35 million or whatever in reality, when you look at it. But Lamar's one of the quarterbacks who is still chasing last year's market. because all of the foolishness went on last year when they threw all this guaranteed money at Russell Wilson, at Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. at Kyler Murray when he yeah. moaned about not, you know, and we talked about that last year. I just said, they're crazy. You know, they've got him for another year, 2 years, but they've got him for another year before they have to make a decision.
Right.
You just say to Kyler, we love you, but where are we going? Are we going forward or not? We want to see that. And if you're going forward, you're going to get paid. But instead,
are you buying into this collusion argument? That or theory that there is a concerted effort not to offer him a similar kind of Deshaun guaranteed money.
I don't think it's collusion against Lamar, and I don't actually believe in the collusion. I think that given his injury history, the Ravens are probably loath to raise the money up over a long period of time to commit to money that they might have to swallow. You know, if he does get hurt, because he'll want a guaranteed contract. And in fact, there's starting to be a movement in the NFL to guarantee all contracts, which would change the nature of the game significantly in terms of what payers are played. I hesitate to say a collusion, because in reality, the quarterback crop this year is not like last year's. If you looked in a vacuum, you know, you had to assume Russell Wilson was young and healthy, hadn't been hobbled by playing through all those injuries. You had to assume Deshaun Watson was going to be a good citizen and hadn't been hurt by not playing football, for over a year. And in fact, Jacoby Brissett outplayed him played better than he did in Cleveland. You had to assume Kyler Murray was going to improve and not, consistently make spectacular plays early in the year and then become become less effective late in the year when teams managed to keep him in the pocket, partly because he was, getting tired, getting banged up all year long. A 5'9", 190-pound quarterback is not a great, bet to use as a runner for a 17-game season. So I'm not convinced by a collusion thing. I think this year's market, there's been a couple of weird things, but nothing out of line, nothing out of line. And I can't see anybody left without an option, and I don't see other teams bidding for Lamar simply because it's going to cost them. They either have to give him a huge deal, which Baltimore will not match, or give up two draft picks. Mm. And that's going to be a big question for them. If I were Baltimore, I'd be sitting down trying to make a deal with him, guarantees up front, backloaded to make it look bigger, but giving yourselves an out, because he should be paid. He deserves to be paid. And he's watching guys who were never the MVP in the league.
Right.
Get paid. But injury is a funny thing. And there could be some lingering, all the rumors and stuff about perhaps he was not as injured as he said he was. He could have come back a little bit earlier, but honestly, there was no motivation for him to come back in a lot of ways. That may be a lingering factor in the team, but they haven't taken any steps to move beyond beyond him.
What could they do in that respect?
Well, now at this point, it's Teddy Bridgewater, unless they go into like the Aaron Rodgers sweepstake, which they would never do because they're too
that
smart.
That would be wild if they did that. I wonder, just as you're talking, how many quarterbacks, it's would maybe never happen because the very fact that there would be a big market for them and means they wouldn't be put in this situation where teams risk losing them. But if you had, say, Burrow, Mahomes, Allen in a similar situation where it's a massive amount of money and a big old draft pick haul to grab that player. How many quarterbacks, we've seen the market with Rodgers, right? And I know he's at a different stage of his career, but they're not exactly knocking down the door to do a deal. So how many quarterbacks are we talking that would actually garner serious market?
It's funny. It's good because that's why. You remember when Kansas City locked up Mahomes?
Yeah.
And everybody was saying, this is an amazing, amazing deal. Well, as time goes by, those amazing numbers don't look so amazing anymore.
Yeah,
he's still the highest paid, more or less, quarterback, but it's important to lock these guys up before that fifth year, you know, and which in retrospect, Baltimore should have done, even though he was injured,
Yeah.
And who do you got? You've certainly got Herbert. You've got Mahomes. Herbert,
Burrow, Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. If they went on the market,
Josh
have...
Allen. Yeah.
That's basically it, isn't it?
They're the kind of like four great young quarterbacks in the league right now. I'm trying to think if am I missing a fifth somewhere? It's not Daniel Jones.
No, I mean, it's Dak.
Dak's a veteran. I mean, Dak's in his 30s. Dak would never pull that market. Dak is Russell Wilson, but not as good as Russell Wilson would be.
Yeah.
And I was a big Dak. You remember, I was a big Dak backer when he came out of came out of college. I'm just trying to. Have I missed?
No, I don't think you have. I think it is those. I think it's those
four. I mean, McLeod Bethel Thompson is available. He was the second best quarterback in the CFL last year.
Okay. All right.
Didn't he stop by Miami in his NFL journey? I think he might have. The best quarterback in the CFL was Nathan Rourke, and he signed with Jacksonville.
Good name.
Which is interesting because he'll make more money even if he backs up Trevor Lawrence, if he's the sole backup for Trevor Lawrence, than he would starting in the CFL. But
You're right. Yeah. He was at 49ers for a bit. Miami had a couple of 49ers twice, the Patriots, Minnesota. It's fascinating, these players that bounce around the practice squads and the
AJ McCarron is
AJ's
playing his ass off in the XFL.
Loving a bit of XFL action. What's happened to Josh Rosen? Where's Josh Rosen these days? I always like to look
at him. I don't know. Did he play in the USFL? No, I don't think so.
Where is Josh Rosen right now?
And the passing primate. Trevor Siemian is a free agent now. He was let go.
Okay. It's like we're in 2015.
Blaine Gabbert went to visit somebody. There's somebody who showed interest in Blaine Gabbert. Joe Flacco's a free agent.
Joe Flacco! All the greats.
Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan. Someone should sign both of them.
Oh, brilliant. Just interchange them down by down.
Let them play as a tag team, sort of. It would be like Akeem the African Dream and the Big Show or something.
The Big Boss Man, I think, was his tag team partner.
The Big Boss Man,
love that. Carlson, at Carlson Sports is how you follow the big man. Speaking of the Big Boss Man on Twitter, patreon.com/MikeCarlsonFMTM. Delighted to see that is still rolling, Carlson.
Yeah, it's still going, at least for the rest of the offseason. We'll see what happens when the season starts in September. But I'm doing another deep dive into Aaron Rodgers when the guru comes down from the mountain and speaks today.
We'll check in with you soon, buddy. Look after yourself.
Okay, you too, mate.
Podcast Network.